two pretty lame jokes, but then I want to get down to the nitty-gritty of things. Okay, so a cement mixer and a prison bus crashed on the highway. Police advise citizens to look out for a group of hardened criminals. All right. Then, hold on, I'm getting my notes ready because I'm going to get into this real fast. Wait, where are my notes at? Don't freak out, where are my notes? There they are. All right, and then the second one is a man walks into a library and orders a hamburger. The lady says, "Sir, this is a library." He goes, "Oh, sorry. I'd like to order a hamburger, please." Okay, those are my two jokes. Break the ice. What I really wanted to get into tonight was the time change. Now, for those of you who are on the wrong side and say that you gain an hour, if I tell you to go back and to add an hour onto that clock, which way are you going to set it?
Forward.
Forward, right? Because you gain an hour. So whenever I say you lose an hour, you lose an hour on the clock. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Whenever you fall back, okay, subtract, lose an hour, so now you're all on my side. So great. I'm happy. You're preaching next week? Garrett will preach on what he calls the right way, but it is not. All right. So I'm going to preach tonight on a servant. Emma said, "Can I know what you're preaching on tonight?" I said, "Sure." I said, "Servant." She goes, "A servant?" And I was like, "A servant. I don't know what that means, but we're preaching on a servant tonight." Okay. So open up your Bibles to Matthew 6:24. That's where I'm first going to be, Matthew 6:24. But before you get there, I want to pray, have the Lord bless us here tonight. So let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for this evening. Just thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given me to preach. I pray now that you would use me, that you would just please just work through me, Lord. And I pray for the listeners, just pray that you would speak to their hearts. And I pray that you just convict people here tonight. And I pray for all these things in your name. Amen. All right. So my very first point, it's a pretty groundbreaking point. All right. Very mind-blowing. Okay. A servant needs to understand who his master is. Right. Whenever you come here, Connor, preach, you come get some pretty special stuff. All right. You come here the best. Okay. A servant must understand who his master is. In Matthew 6:24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." All right, so the phrase I want to focus on is, "No man can serve two masters." It is impossible to please God and man. Whenever you please man, you're going directly against what God is saying. I think I preached on that a couple times ago. Whenever man is telling you to do something, it's usually going against what the Bible tells you to do. All right? So to be a good servant, we must understand where our devotion belongs. And as Christians, obviously, our devotion is to who? To God, to Jesus, right? To Christ. All right? Now, that's easy to say, isn't it? It's easy as Christians to be like, "Oh, I'm devoted to God." But then you go home Sunday night and you take off, okay, everything that you just learned, and you live the whole rest of the week, don't you? It's easy to live that life just being a Christian on Sundays, and it's easy being a Christian on Wednesdays, and the rest of the week you just kind of, "Yeah, I'm a Christian," right? It's easy to do that. But we may think we are pleasing man, but ultimately, any time we follow anyone but God, we are inadvertently serving the devil. Okay, any time you're not serving God, what does that mean? You're serving the devil. Pretty obvious, right? Something that we need to think about. Whenever we think we're pleasing man, we're disappointing God the Father. We're making him very upset. Now, why do we serve God? Why do we serve him? I'm just going to read this. You don't have to turn there. But in 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love him because he first loved us." All right, that's something very hard to comprehend. Now, God is somebody who knows all things. He knew us before we were even born, before we even existed. And he loved us even back then. So to think that God knew everything that this sinner was going to do, okay, all the stupid things that I've done, all the wrong that I've done, and yet he still loves me. It's hard to love somebody whenever they keep wronging you, keep spitting in your face, isn't it? Okay, we say, "Oh yeah, God loved us whenever we were unlovable," and we don't really think about that. Okay, I want you to think, if somebody does you wrong, It's really hard to love them, but yet we have a God who loves us despite of our faults. That is why I serve Him. That is why I love God the Father, and that separates Him from all the earthly gods. All the earthly gods want people to sacrifice to them. They want them to sacrifice their babies. You know, do you hear, what God was that? I'm not going to get into that because I didn't write it down. Okay, but you hear all these gods, what? What was His name? Molech, yes, that God. Okay, you hear all these terrible things where they put babies inside of this golden calf and they killed their babies. I'm so glad that I don't have a God who does that. I serve Him because He first loved me. Now, although a slave has no choice whether to serve or not, a servant chooses to serve his master. Now, we were once a slave to sin. Once you're born into this world, you're born into a sin-filled world, aren't we? Okay, and as that kid, I'm learning that now. My kid's not even like 2 months old, and I'm like, you're a rotten sinner. Okay? No, I love him. He's really cute. Reminds me of his mom. But but no, that kid's going to grow up, and he's going to grow up to just make my heart all warm and fuzzy, and he's also going to grow up to break my heart, isn't he? He's going to do some things that I'm like, why did you do that, Jack? And I'm going to shake him like, why? Okay? I'm not going to shake him. No, not going to do that. Not yet. Yeah. Gonna get my belt out. Anybody have a dad who did that? Okay, whenever you got in trouble, pull the belt, and then you hear the, and you're like, ah, and then you run. Okay. Anyways, it was a scare tactic, but it worked. All right. We were once a slave to sin, but God set us free from the enslavement to the devil. Isn't that true? We were once born into this world a slave to sin. But then God sent His love to us, or God sent Christ to die on the cross for our sins, and He freed us from the enslavement. Now, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we now choose to serve Him through love and not of bondage. Joshua 24:15. Turn over to Joshua 24, verse number 15. A lot of people know this verse. They're like, oh, I have that on my wall at home. Who has that on their wall at home? Joshua 24:15. I think a lot of people have that. We did at our old house. Yeah. You just put it on the wall and you're like, yeah, we're holy now. Okay. Verse number 15, it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, Joshua, regardless of what others were deciding, Joshua made a commitment to God and was willing to set an example of living by that decision. Now, others were able to understand who his master was and why he was worthy based on the willingness of servitude. Now, in verse number 16 and 17, it says, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of our father, no, I'm sorry, up brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. So, what that tells me is, that no matter what you do, there is always somebody watching you, okay? There is always somebody watching you, even if you don't think so. The way we serve Christ will either bring people closer to God or it will push people closer to the devil. The way we serve God can bring people closer to Christ or it'll push people closer to the devil. All right, now how many of you have heard, well, I used to go to church, but there is an incident that I don't really want to go to church anymore. All right, now people say, well, yeah, that's an excuse. They didn't want to be in church. But don't be that excuse. Don't be the reason people leave a church. You want to be the example of a person who serves God and who loves God. Right? You don't want to be a reason that somebody leaves. All right, now I want to focus on the attributes. Ooh, big word. Attributes of a good servant. Now, a lot of people know this one, too. Psalms 102. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 102 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. So number one, the attributes of a servant is he's glad, he's happy, okay? Now whenever you think of service, you think of work, right? And whenever you go to work, are you happy or sad? I'm usually just like, oh, I'm going to work again, dragging my feet out of bed, like, putting my clothes on. It's a long process, all right? But the Lord says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Whenever we understand who God is and what He has done for us, we are able to serve Him with all gladness. So whenever you just stop and think for a second, everything God has done for you, there's a song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Whenever you actually sit down and you're like, wow, look around and I have a house here. I have a beautiful wife. Not everybody can say that. I can. Okay? I have a cute little kid. Okay? And you think of all the things that God has given you, that makes you want to serve. And it makes you happy because you're like, I'm very blessed. But whenever our service turns into a chore, we have simply forgotten who God is and how much He has sacrificed for us. Whenever we get down, it is because we focus on all the bad that's happening. And we forget about all the good. I find that happening a lot in my life. Whenever one single thing happens, my whole day is ruined. Whenever I get upset, I just don't talk. I just sit there like a bump on a log. My wife's like, are you all right? I'm like, two thumbs up. You know, she's like, no, you're not all right. But it's just because I focus on the bad and I forget all the good. Okay, and Christ said that we should be happy in serving the Lord. No matter what happens, we need to praise God for the things that He's given us. We need to praise our Heavenly Father. We must take pride and joy in every opportunity that we have. Now turn over to Philippians. I'm going to have you turn a couple more places. Turn over to Philippians 2. You can't get in trouble for having too much scripture whenever you preach, can you? I don't think so. Philippians 2, verse number 5, yes. Philippians 2, verse number 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Okay, so he took upon himself the form of a servant. Now, God left us a perfect example of what a servant should be. Who is that example? Jesus Christ, right? Everybody can say that. Okay, Jesus Christ is the perfect example of a servant. Christ could have chosen any form on earth, and it would not have been robbery. But yet, He chose to make Himself into a servant. Now, God, think about this. God, the person who created us, decided to come down as a servant. Okay, if I was God, I think I would put myself as like a king, right? You would think. I come down. I mean, He was a king. You know, Jesus Christ is King of Kings. But earthly-wise, you know, you think He would come down as a king and rule over and fix everything, right? But no, He came down as a servant. And I think He did that to show us how important the role of a servant is, how important God thinks serving is, okay? God, the person who created everything, who created us, He became a servant for me. And He came in the likeness of His own creation. In order to understand what a good servant should be, it is absolutely necessary to study the life and actions of Christ. Every action of His that is recorded for us in the Bible was an act of service towards men. Okay, now Philippians 2, well actually just the next verse, actually verse number 8, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, for Christ to be a servant, He first humbled Himself. Now, the first one was what? He should be happy or, you know, rejoiceful, you know, whatever you mark down there. The second one is a servant should be humble. A servant should be humble. A servant should never take the credit for the master. Okay, I think of all the great men in the Bible. I think of David. I think of Moses. Okay, Moses could have took a lot of credit for the plagues. Okay, did he have anything to do with the plagues? No. David could have took a lot of credit for killing Goliath. Okay, did he do anything? He's like, no, we have the Lord on our side. Why are we scared? You know, with God we can do anything, all right? They could have taken a lot of credit, but they didn't. When good things happen, it is from God. God can still do things without us. That's something else that we need to realize too, is that whenever we get all high and mighty, we're like, God can literally do all of this without us. We're really not that important. That's something that we need to remember. Without the master, the servant is nothing. It is only through the Master that we get to be a part of anything. Okay? We must be willing to humble ourselves to God's will and His plan. Now, the agenda of the... agenda. That's a good word. The agenda of the servant is unimportant. Now, that's a hard one to do, isn't it? Okay, but once we get that, no matter what we want, okay, what we want kind of has to go out the window. It has to be gone. Okay, in order for God to actually work in us and through us to do His will. Okay, because if we're there constantly butting heads with God, which isn't a good idea, by the way, if we're constantly there going against what God wants us to do, it's not going to turn out very well for us, is it? Because who's always going to win? Adeline, who's always going to win? God or me? God. Very good. God. God is always going to win. Okay? He wants... let me see here. His wants and desires should be to fulfill the Master's will. Although Christ is already deserving of our service because of His salvation, He still rewards His servants for their obedience. Okay, now this one's kind of a, this is one where I kind of wanted to spend most of my time. Go over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5.
Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians.
All right, Galatians 5, verse number 13. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh," which means don't use your liberty to sin. Okay, a lot of people do that as well. It's like, oh, I have liberty to do what I want. I'll sin. No. He's like, don't do that. Don't do that at all. It says, "But by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." So, attribute of a servant is to be happy, to be humble, and to serve one another, to serve other servants. God commands us to love thy neighbor as thyself. So that love should drive us to serve one another. Christ left us an example of loving the brethren in John 13. I don't think you guys have to turn there. John 13 verses 12 through 14 says, "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Okay, so Christ, okay, Jesus, who is God's only Son, was willing to serve the disciples by washing their feet. Now, why he chose the feet, I would not have touched those men's feet. That is the weirdest thing ever. I would have been like, I'll wash your hands for you, but not your dirty feet. You can do whatever you want. Wash your feet. I'll wash your hands. Okay, but no, God decided to wash their feet. Okay? Even though he knew that one of them was going to betray him. As I said earlier, God knows everything. So obviously God knew that who was going to betray him? Judas. Judas Iscariot, which is my favorite last name. Judas Iscariot. It's so fun to say. Even God washed his feet. That's what I was trying to say. Even though God knew that Judas was going to betray him, he didn't just wash the 11 other disciples and was like, Judas, you know, you can wash your own feet. I'll wash everybody else's. No. He decided to wash all of their feet. It doesn't matter what someone may have done to you, you must be willing to love and to serve equally. If Christ could love someone who is going to betray him to the death of the cross, then we can certainly forgive and love those that have wronged us. Man, that one's kind of hard, isn't it? That one's kind of hard for me to take in. Like I said earlier, somebody wronged you, you usually treat them differently than you would your best friend. Okay, but Christ didn't treat them any differently. You know, and maybe there's a church member in here who you're like, I just don't really talk to that person very much. Me and him just don't have the same personality. Me and Garrett don't really get along that much. I stay away from him. Okay? Me and Alex, on the other hand, like this. Okay? Is that right to do? No. Christ would have been like, well, Garrett, you know, me and you are best friends. Me and Alex, he would have been friends with everybody. He wouldn't have picked who he was friends with. Okay? He would have washed your feet, Garrett. Your feet. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Okay. We need to learn to, even if somebody has wronged you, you still need to serve them. And that's something hard that we need to do. Go over to Luke 10. Luke chapter number 10. Just a couple pages over. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38. While you're turning, I'll get a drink of water. All right, verse number 38. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Excuse me. So, it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." Now, sometimes we get so wrapped up in appearances, don't we? We get so wrapped up in the outward look that we forget the whole purpose. The whole purpose is to love and to serve one another. Now, Mary was not out in the kitchen cooking or cleaning. She was loving and listening to Christ. Now, are we listening to one another? Are we looking for ways to serve and to bless one another? Or are we so cumbered about with much serving physically that we have missed the whole point? Now, although I do believe that we should take care of the things that God has given us, I 100% believe in that. I think that if God has given to us, we should take care of it. But our main priority should always be people. Something I think about is this church building, okay? Now, I say church building because we usually call it the church, right? Is it the church? No, what's a church? People. It's a called out assembly of saved believers, right? Learned that from pastor. See, I'm learning stuff. Okay, we're a called out assembly of saved believers. Now, if this church were to burn down, okay, and to be unusable, if building can't burn down, it burns up. Anyways, if it burns down, do we have a church still? Well, yes, we have a church. We'll meet somewhere else. Okay, now let me throw this one at you. If we have a visitor come in, okay, and they see a little dirt on the floor, okay, maybe the toilets aren't super clean, okay, but they come in and they're like, "Wow, this church has a love in it. Okay, this church, these people here have a unity about them. Okay, they love each other, but the church isn't clean." I would still go to that church because I feel God's presence there, God's love there. But if they come and this building is squeaky clean, okay, nothing wrong with it, everything's wiped, you know, no dust anywhere, floors are mopped, all this good stuff, and they come in here and everybody is against one another, everybody is talking behind people's backs, everybody is bickering at each other, always fighting, do you think that person's going to stay here very long? No, I think they're going to come in here, feel that there's absolutely no love here, and they're going to leave right out those front doors. Because why? Because we're not serving one another. We're not loving one another like we should. We're too worried about the outside appearance. Okay, sure, the building might look nice, but what's on the inside? What's happening on the inside of our church that is pushing people away? Okay, and that we can each think about how we can improve in this area. Okay, we each have a person who we're like, "I could be so much nicer to that person. I could be so much loving towards that person." Why aren't we? Why are we so fighting and bickering and talking behind people's backs, gossiping? Why do we do that? Well, because we're people, but does that make it right? That's a good excuse for us, isn't it? Well, we're just humans. Humans gossip. No, it's called sin. If we are bitter at a member or gossiping or causing strife in the body, it doesn't matter whether we taught Sunday school or how clean the church is. Service without love means nothing to God. If we aren't serving out of love, then we aren't truly serving. We're just putting on a show. I'm pretty good at putting on a show. I'm pretty good. Who else is pretty good at putting on a show? I'm pretty good at, if I'm unhappy, I'm like, "All right, I can fake it till I make it." Okay, I can come do church for a Sunday. Okay, that's not the right thing to do, is it? No. If you come to church and you can feel there's something wrong inside of you, that you just don't want to go to church, you don't want to be around a certain person, there's something not right. Now, obviously, Martha had to cook and clean. I'm going back to the story now. Obviously, Martha had to cook and clean at some point. But if our love and service to one another isn't overwhelmingly obvious to the lost, then our witnessing and inviting them to church is in vain. The world doesn't care how clean the church toilet is if they cannot see the love of Christ in the church. Without unity of love in the church, we will never be able to accomplish the Great Commission, which is winning the lost. Now, many times if we are offended, okay, which people do get offended, don't they? Okay, it doesn't make it right, but people do get offended. We think that we're doing the body service by not saying anything, just saying, oh, well, it's just water off a duck's back, right? Just let it go, okay? Some people say that you just shouldn't get offended, or it's not right that you should get offended. Well, I don't think people should offend in the first place. I think that's where you kind of need to look at the problem. Okay, if somebody's offended, there's probably something wrong. There's probably something that needs to be dealt with. Okay, but then people say, just don't get offended. Don't worry about it. Okay? But no, the Bible does say that people will get offended, and the Bible says how you should go about an offense. Okay, you should take two or more people and all this stuff. You need to do it biblically if you are. However, when there are offenses that are not dealt with, they often lead to bitterness. We must be willing to love one another enough to go to our brethren and mend whatever hurt there may be. Allowing for bitterness and offenses to multiply among the body will only prevent the church from furthering the kingdom of God. Christ's command to first love one another. Okay, when the lost can sense that love, it'll cause them to desire that same love that Christ has given us. However, if the lost come into a church and sense a disunity and bitterness among the brethren, or lack of love, our lack of love can cancel our outward service. All right? There's really not much to say on that one. If there's a lack of love, a lack of unity, our church will continue just to wither away. Okay? Now, there's not a perfect church out there. You're not going to have perfect unity. I don't believe there is a church out there that had perfect unity. But it doesn't mean that you can't try. It doesn't mean that you just give up. Well, we're never going to be perfect, so don't even try to be friends with people. Don't even try to mend what happened. Just leave it. That's not the right way to go at it at all. The world can sense whenever Christians are not in love with God. Go to Mark, go to Mark 10. Mark 10. Mark 10, verse number 44. Mark 10, 44. It says, "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So, how does that first verse go? "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest." The chiefest is somebody who is in charge, who is the leader. So what does this tell you? Okay, this tells me that service starts at the top. Now, that's usually a little backwards from what the world has it today. Usually in a big business or a big company, okay, you work your way up by, you know, just not serving, basically, and everybody else serves you. Okay, but in God's world, in God's church, He wants us to serve one another. And that leadership should start the service. So, pastor, this means that you have to serve. Okay, just as Christ, which is God, was an example of servitude to the disciples, those who are leaders must be an example of service. Whenever you think of a good leader, I have a couple examples. I think I used them before. I think of Richard Winters, okay, who was a World War II veteran. Okay? His men loved him not because he could give orders, not because he could bark out orders and his men would do it. No. His men loved him because whenever he gave orders, he made sure his men had what they needed. Okay? He went out and he was with his men in a lot of the battles. Okay? And his men respected him for that. So whenever your whenever your leader is with you and is helping you doing the tasks that he wants you to do, you tend to have more respect for that person, don't you? Whenever my boss at work, my boss at work is kind of weird. Okay, he'll tell you to do something, and then you'll do it, and you're like, all right, great. But one day he came, and he was like, well, this line needs a little bit more production. All right, so he actually stayed and packed on the line with me. I was like, oh, wow, that's a little different. All right, he saw that there was a spot empty, okay, because we had one person short that day. And he came in, and he started helping. And I was like, wow, that was a really cool thing to do. And I respected him for that. If just more of our leaders would understand that. Okay, so a pastor must learn to serve his sheep. A teacher must serve her students. A husband must serve her wife, and so on and so on. Okay, there will always be someone under you that you can serve. Now, service isn't always physical. Now, that's, everyone's thinking like serve, like, bring a cup of tea to the person, here. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay? Although we should, be in the habit of helping others. Sometimes it is a service of love that is necessary. You should always be looking for a way to show love to those in your church family. Many times people just need someone who will listen to them, who will pray for them, or even give them a hug in time of trouble. Encouragement is a wonderful way to serve others. All right, how many of you have been in a bad situation where you just didn't know what you were going to do? You had no idea what was going to happen next. And how encouraging is it whenever somebody who is above you, okay, either spiritually or, here on, like a boss or something, how encouraging is it for them to come down and be like, hey, it's all right, man. You've got this. How encouraging is it for pastor to come and be like, I'm praying for you? Okay, for some odd reason, that just encourages you so much. It's a wonderful way to serve. Now, although Christ came to earth to die on the cross, he spent 33 and a half years on earth serving others. Again, I think he wanted to show us how important being a servant is. He went out of his way healing the sick, raising the dead to life, and feeding the hungry. Knowing that those would be the same people that would eventually nail him to a cross. Now I ask, who are we going out of our way to serve? Okay? Are we going out of our way to serve people, or are we just doing the bare minimum? Are we just doing the least we can do just to make it through? Now this is something that I seriously need to work on. People have been so generous to me with having a child, and they've given us free stuff, and they've been so generous, and that's serving. Okay? That's more service than you guys will ever realize. And then I thought to myself, what do I do for others? What do I do for you guys? And this message really convicted me because I noticed that I'm not doing enough. And God really worked on my heart and convicted me that I need to be doing more for others. Every day we should be asking the Lord who he wants us to be a blessing to. But a lot of times we're too worried about other things. We're too worried about self, too worried about where our next meal is going to come from. A leader would be like, well, instead of me eating, you eat. But no, what would we do in that situation? We'd eat the food, right? That's what I would do. I'm a horrible person. I know that I am. Okay? I'm not a leader, and I know that. But we need to not think about ourselves so much. We need to think about those around us. Have you stand to your feet, if you will.